Promised as we continue Chelek Beis of Likra Shabbos, trying to develop our sense of longing for Shabbos and preparing for Shabbos, I promise that we talk about the Piyut of L'Chadodi, which we all say, and it's also popular throughout Klal Yisrael. And I think before we even begin to approach the Nusach of L'Chadodi, we have to start to talk about the author of L'Chadodi. Rav Shlomo Alkovetz, one of the great Mikubalim, living in Tzfas. A few of you mentioned that you were at his kever at the top of the hill in the old cemetery in the city of Tzfas. And just to give you an idea of who we're talking about over here, the beautiful songs that he put together, and there's many that we say, and many that find their way into Siddurim in various occasions throughout the year. Shlomo Alkovetz was someone who was beyond anything that you can imagine as far as Kedusha. Here's a story that's quoted in the Sefer Kav HaYosher, reading to you as it is published in the Sefer Tameh HaMenhagim. And the Sefer in this particular section is trying to give us a sense of the godless of the individuals who compose the many poems and nigunim and songs that we are very familiar with. Because Matzina Begadol Echad, Rav Shlomo Alkovetz, Zitzukal, Shaya Baki Bechachmas HaKabbalah, he was well versed in Kabbalah, B'diktuk, V'chibra HaRiputim, and he wrote many songs. Mirov Chachmasun is kind of Boson Israel. So imagine living in Tzfas, 1600s, surrounded by Arabs, okay, because they were the dominant population in Eretz Yisrael at the time. And because of his great wisdom, the Arabs in the neighboring villages were very jealous of him. They were envious of his powers and his intellect. Eventually, they couldn't hold back. There was a particular Arab who just couldn't stand him anymore, was so jealous of all of his powers. One day he got up and he killed him. Bekavru beganshalo etzel ilan te'ena, and took the body, didn't know what to do with it, so he buried him in his backyard. The Arab buried Rav Shlomo Alkovetz in the backyard underneath his date tree. Okay, I'm sorry, his fig tree. Sorry. Vate'ena chanta pagia, the next season came, and the tree began to sprout fruit, as it does every year. Kodem is mana, except this year it started a little bit earlier. Va'asas apiros te'enim gedolim v'yavim ma'od, and the fruits that the tree produced were astonishingly beautiful. And it was so unusual. These fruits were so extraordinary that the people in the town were all wondering, like, what happened to this tree all of a sudden? Badavar ba el melech Ishmaelim. Eventually, this became such a popular sight, this fig tree, that word got back to the sultan, or whoever, the leader of the Arabs. Vayar melech haperes, vayitam. The king came to see the tree on his own, and he was bewildered. He found out who was the owner of this tree, and he sent for him. He called him to the palace. Tell me, how exactly were you able to bring about this miraculous development of the fruit? Because, hey, you know, if you can do it with my trees, I'll invite you to come back to the Sultan's palace. The Arab who had murdered Shlomo Alkovetz was so overtaken with fright, he could not even respond to the king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his power of speech. V'haya mitzvah melech liyaser also b'yisurim kashim umorim adjohuch roch Yishmaelu lehodos. The king made him undergo terrible, terrible torture until he spilled the beans. V'hodos shmei also yom shaharik ha-zehudib shama akubetz hizcha le'ilan lasos peres kol mizbano. Said the explanation is that from the day that Shlomo Alkovetz was buried underneath the tree, since then the tree has sprouted extraordinary fruit. Tziva melech litlus es Ishmaeli harotzeach also ilan, and the king commanded that Arab to be buried. To be hanged on that very same tree. Okay, so we're not talking about composers of music like other types of music that we hear. We're talking about people who were otherworldly holiness. So much so that if you buried Shlomo Alkovetz under a tree, it had impact on the nature of the surrounding environment. Okay, this is not a normal individual. This is someone with great levels of kedusha. So he writes in L'Chadodi, Zachar v'shamar b'dibur echa nemru. Zachar v'shamar b'dibur echa nemru. Of course, a reference to the fact that the two different set of luchos, the first set of luchos, the second set of luchos, Parshas Yisro, Parshas Eschanan, have a number of slight differences. One of the differences between the two set of luchos is how Shabbos is referred to. The first set of luchos, Zachar Shomer Shabbos L'Kacho, and the second one is Shomer Shomer Shabbos L'Kacho. This is not something which just makes a nice song, and it's not just an anomaly between the two different versions of the Nusach. On the one hand, there are halachic differences that emerge from the fact halachic nafkamini that emerged from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used two different terminologies when conveying the mitzvah of Shabbos. For example, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Ches, says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down and gave this dibra of Zachar Vishamar B'dibur Echad, it was something which Masha Ha'ozen Eino Yochel Lishma Masha Peh Eino Yochel Adaber. It is not physically possible for a human being to hear two things at once, nor can a human being speak two things at once. What do we learn from there? We learn from there halacha, trei kali lo mishtamai. You can't have two people reading from the Torah at the same time, because al pi halacha, even if you think that you are able to discern the different voices that are being produced by the two different bali kriya, it is not halachically valid. Otherwise, anything other than one single voice being produced with the laning. Number one. Number two, Gemara says that the way we know that women are chayiv in all the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos also stems from the fact, Zachar v'shamar b'divar echa nemru. Namely, women are, should have been pater from Kiddush, they should have been pater from Shal Shudas, they should have been pater from Lecha Mishnah, all the positive aspects of the day of Shabbos, because they're all mitzvahs of Shabbos man grama. However, they are definitely commanded to observe the lo sases, the negative commandments, not to do malacha, whatever it happens to be, because that's a mitzvah lo sasei, and mitzvahs lo sasei, women must observe, even if they are time-bound mitzvahs. Comes along Gemara and says, mi sheyeshno b'shamar, yeshno b'zachar. A woman who definitely has to observe the negative commandments of Shabbos, likewise, because Hashem communicated to us the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos, such as making Kiddush and Lecha Mishnah, etc., in the same dibor as the negative commandments, the shamar. As a result, that was intended to give us the message that a woman does not differentiate between the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos, the negative mitzvahs of Shabbos, even if it is Zman Groma, she has to keep both. But Rabotai, what's the common denominator between these two halachic nafkaminas? Number one, the fact that two things can't be heard at the same time. Number two, the fact that a woman is chayav both in positive mitzvahs of Shabbos and the negative mitzvahs of Shabbos. Both of them work with the same assumption that Zachar and Shamar are distinct terms with distinct lessons to be learned from each one, and they just happen to be said at the same time. Zachar v'shamar b'dibur echad nemru means we're going to take two disparate ideas and assume that they're both applicable. However, Abel said, there's an aspect of Zachar v'shamar b'dibur echad which I think is actually unifying. Not that there's two different points that both have to get across, but rather Zachar v'shamar come together, they're fused into one single message. And I want to give two expressions of this in the next 6 minutes that we have. Number one, Rabbi Sayyid. Rabbi Yashav writes in his Sefer Divrei Agada, Rabbi Yashav was known the world over, Gadol Ador and Psak Halacha, people from around the world would come and knock on his door and ask him shailas. Little did people know he was also an unbelievable darshan. And if you have $17.99 to spend on an excellent Sefer on Chumash and on the Yom Tovim, get this book, Divrei Agada by Rabbi Yashav. And he writes there on page Shin Chav Ches as follows. Amru Chazal, Zachar v'shamar, v'dibur echa nemru. Zachar v'shamar, zehu ovar, v'hoveh. Those two different points, Zachar and Shamar, come together by invoking the past and bringing it into the present. Milfnim ha'ishalon yahadus chaya shleima gemura, Shamar es ha'tarv ha'tarv mitzvah tulim ba, Shamar avikisa ba'yom v'layot bocha es mitzo, Shamar levim siras nefesh v'kribu ba'ada es kol chavam v'damam. We have to look back at the history. Zachar Shamar Shabbos is a kach of memory, right? Zachar usually translates as mentioned. A zecher, a zechira, some sort of acknowledgement. Zachar bo Yashav, zechira is also a lashon of remembering. We have to go back into history, and we have to trace the way that our forefathers, not so long ago, one generation, two generations, three generations ago, observed Shabbos, observed the Torah in a manner which was characterized by unbelievable, unprecedented mesiras nefesh. If anyone reads about Jewish life in the shtetl, and prior to that, any part of the world, doesn't matter where you live, you go back 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, Jews were keeping Torah and mitzvos, and it was being kept even at the threat of their life. How many stories have you heard about people who had Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur services in Auschwitz? Just try to picture what that means, right? If you're in a state of being treated like a slave, being treated like cattle, the absolute degradation of what it meant to be an individual going through the Holocaust, what you're thinking about is Shmiras Torah Mitzvos, where when you know that in any moment an Atzi could open up the door, where you have your little Pesach Seder with some scraps of flour that you scrounge together and raisin wine, and if they bust in there, they could shoot you on the spot, and that doesn't deter you from fulfilling Torah Mitzvos as if nothing is going on around you? That is mind-boggling, Bosa. It's mind-boggling. When we think about the challenges that our forefathers, and again, I'm talking about generations that you can count on your finger, on your fingers, before us, what they went through, the Messiah's Nefesh that was necessary for them to accomplish what they accomplished, and what do we do? What do we have in our way from performing Torah Mitzvos? Zokta B'Yashav, Zohar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Remember what it was to keep Shabbos for people not so long ago, and then that will bring you to Shomer is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. The more that a person has a memory and idea of what occurred in the past and the test that we withstood, that will drive the person on their own individual level right here, right now, today, to observe Shabbos the way they should. It's a very powerful idea of Bosai. Because if you think about the fact that it may very well be that the reason why you're sitting right here, excuse me, as an observant Jew, is only a product of the fact that your great-grandparents were Moser Nefesh. The Gemara says in Shabbos that Avraham Avinu, he was 100 years old, 99 to be exact, when he performed Bris Milah, because he performed Bris Milah at 99 years old with unbelievable self-sacrifice. There was no local anesthesia in his day. Okay? Because of his Mesiras Nefesh, for that reason, Jews nowadays, religious and irreligious, observe the mitzvah of circumcision. Thousands of years later. Because he put so much Mesiras Nefesh into that mitzvah, it still exists in 2016. Likewise, your grandparents, great-grandparents, and beyond kept Shabbos regardless of what that meant, regardless of the threats that they faced when they did so, and who knows if in that tzchus, that's precisely why we are from sitting here right now. And imagine if Chas V'Shalom, someone who is from, who lives in a Jewish community, a from community, because by virtue of what their ancestors put into their spiritual DNA through that Mesiras Nefesh, they would come, fast forward 75 years, and see us nowadays, the way we look at the privilege we have to fulfill Torah Mitzvos without any pressure, without any persecution, without anyone giving us any problems, they would be astounded at how we squander that. How we don't take advantage, how we're not invigorated by that opportunity, by that chesed that Hashem has given us, the chesed we enjoy living in countries where that's not an issue after all they went through to get us here. Zachar Shem Shabbos L'Kacho, the first lesson to take away, remember what Shabbos used to be and let that influence and impact and awaken your own Shmir Shabbos, number one. Number two, Zachar Shem Shabbos L'Kacho. Anyone know the story of Hillel and Shammai? Gemara Beit Zadaf Tezayin tells us what it meant to remember Shabbos on a daily basis. Zachar Yom Shabbos Kacho. Again, remembering in a different light. We're not remembering history over here. Anyone know the story of Hillel and Shammai? Zachar Yom Shabbos Kacho means, on one level, remembering Shabbos every single day. That's why we say in the Shir Shal Yom, Hayom Yom Rishon Shabbos, Yom Yom Sheni Shabbos. We're always counting up towards Shabbos. Hillel had a practice. Shammai was slightly different. This is what Hillel did. Every day Hillel would go into the market and he would find an animal, looked like a delicious steak that he could grill up in honor of Shabbos, and he'd take that animal, and he'd put it away. Shammai, the next day would go out to the market again, find something better, eat the first one, and then say the next one, and give it and eat it on Shabbos. And the Gemara says that by doing so, Shammai was eating the cover Shabbos all week. Hillel would not do that. Hillel would go to the market, see an animal, and say, you know what? I can do better than that for Shabbos. And he waited, and he waited, and waited until Shabbos came. He had a midah bitachon that allowed him to be persistent in holding off until he taka found. Hashem blessed him, gave him the most beautiful, delicious animal by the time the end of the week came. Zachar Shem Shabbos L'Kacho, remembering Shabbos constantly during the week, leads to Shmira Shabbos. Why does remembering Shabbos during the week lead to Shmira Shabbos? What does it have to do with the other? Right? We said before, Zachar Shem Shabbos L'Kacho is the positive, Shomer is the negative. A new taitra, Bosai. Listen to this. There's a pshat. It's brought by the Chizkuni. It's brought by the Or HaChaim. It's been used in many different contexts, which will change your whole notion of what it means to be a Shomer Shabbos. Yeah? The Rav said that after many years of living in America and watching Orthodoxy become stronger and stronger as time went on, despite the fact that people thought that Judaism and Orthodoxy would disappear by the time we're here on the scene, he was amazed at the fact that we were able to persist, and he said what America was able to achieve was to maintain the notion of Shmirah Shabbos. But we were not able to recreate what it meant to be an Erev Shabbos Jew. Shabbos we were able to pull off in America, Erev Shabbos we were not able to pull off in America. What does that mean? Shomer is Yom HaShabbos. What does it mean to guard Shabbos? How do you translate Shomer? What about the Pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev? Yosef comes and tells a story of his dream to Yaakov and to his brothers. And what does Yaakov say? Yaakov says, come on, give me a break. Your mother's dead. She's not coming down to bow to you. Am I going to bow to you? Are your brothers going to bow to you? And how does the Aliyah end? The Aviv Shomer es Hadavar. What does it mean, Aviv Shomer es Hadavar? He kept it in mind. That's what it sounds like. He guarded it. He kept it in his head. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says he sat and was waiting and anticipating. He could not wait until those prophecies, those dreams came true. In other words, to be Shomer Shabbos doesn't just mean you're guarding Shabbos, you're not holding on to something. Shomer Shabbos means you're looking forward to Shabbos. If a person is Zocher Shabbos throughout the week, if a person makes an effort to take 2 minutes every single day to think about how excited he is when Shabbos is going to, what's he going to do on Shabbos, how he's going to rest on Shabbos, how he's going to dress on Shabbos, what he's going to eat on Shabbos, what he's going to accomplish when his phone is finally off and the distractions are gone, when he can walk outside of the base medrash and he isn't being knocked over by the sound of bass from some music which might not be his normal choice for the most conducive type of symphony that supports his Avodas Hashem. That doesn't exist on Shabbos. It doesn't, okay? Not in the dining room, not out of the dining room. Bottom line on both sides, the more a person is thinking about how different Shabbos is during the week, the more he looks forward to it. And when he looks forward to it, he gets there and does something more with it than he ever imagined, like we spoke about last week. I want to finish last four, I promise, okay? Two more minutes. I know I do this every single week, but Rabbi Cohen's really nice to me. If I'm not here next year, you understand that Rabbi Cohen had enough of my overtime, okay? But also listen to this. Rabbi Solovsky said something super geschmack.
6:40, go. I'll get you back.
You did. Rabbi Solovsky said a vort last year, which it makes you want to come from, okay? And if you're already from, I don't know, Hasidish. Here we go. Rabbi Solovsky. Rabbi Solovsky, he said this right when there was all the hawk about the Shabbos app, okay? So everyone's talking about is it really a good heter? Is it grumma? Does the screen go off and I have to use my elbow to make the screen go back on again so that I can use the app? He said, forget about the halachic viability of such an app. Forget about that. Let's say it's okay. Probably isn't, but let's say it was okay anyway. So what are you thinking? What's going through your mind when you design a Shabbos app? The answer is like this, okay? So Rashi and the Rambam have very simple dispute as to why it is, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Ches, Amud Beis, that a Goy Sheshavas, Chayv Misa. If Michael, who on the one hand makes a delicious chant, but at the same time would not work, would observe Shabbos, okay, as frum as he is, so, you know, he's able to give that Shabbos taste into the chant, but as frum as he is, Lamaisa, he's not Jewish. The person's not Jewish, if they observe Shabbos, why, Rashi says, Chayv Misa, why are you Chayv Misa? Sounds pretty crazy, right? The answer is because the Torah says that a non-Jew must constantly be productive. If he would observe Shabbos, he'll sit around all day and there's really nothing for him to do, and he'll be unproductive. Okay? He'll be Yoshiv Batal without accomplishing, without achieving anything. We, on the other hand, we may not be going to work on Shabbos, but we're accomplishing a tremendous amount through the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos, through our learning, through our davening, through our zmiros, by bringing ourselves to a higher spiritual level. A non-Jew doesn't have any of that. He can daven all he wants, and he can make kiddush all he wants, but he's not fulfilling a mitzvah by doing so. Okay? That's what Rashi says. Goy is Chayv Misa if he observes Shabbos, because, bottom line, he is going to be Yoshev Ubatel, he's going to be unproductive the whole time, and he's not allowed to do so. The Rambam says something else. The reason why a non-Jew cannot observe Shabbos is because, anyone know? Because he's effectively making up his own religion. He doesn't have a right to do it. Like we spoke about this morning, non-Jew has Zion mitzvos that he's supposed to perform while he's in this world, and he cannot create a new religion. If he creates a new religion, Zakhtar Ram, that's Chayv Misa. So what's the Jew thinking when he makes a Shabbos app? So possibly number one is that he's thinking, well, I'm just sitting around all day. If I can't use my phone, I'm basically wasting away 25 hours of my life. Okay? And therefore, let me try to get around any problems that Shabbos creates. Shabbos is just an imposition on my life, makes my life difficult, makes me have to waste away that 1/7 of my week. And therefore, by doing so, by creating a Shabbos app, I'll be able to get around that. So that's the mistake of Rashi. You thought you're unproductive on Shabbos. What are you talking about? Shabbos isn't about all the things you can't do. It's a question of making sure you realize what you can do on Shabbos. So, strike number one. Strike number two, what did Rambam say? Rambam said that the reason why a goy is chayav misa is because he's creating his own religion. What is Shabbos to you? Are you taking what the Torah intends for Shabbos to be and designing your life to fit into that? Or no, have you painted a new picture of what you think Shabbos is going to be, and then you're looking to design a technological advancement to make sure that Shabbos fits into that picture? That's making up your own religion. That's taking Shabbos, deciding what it's going to mean to you, and then making sure that all the apps on your phone can be used without any hindrance to that. Well, so bottom line, Shabbos is not about being unproductive. Shabbos is not about being locked into someone else's idea of productivity. But instead, this is the key. This is the key. Whenever we encounter something that we're not connecting with, we go through tefillah and we say, like, what am I asking for? What is this number 18, number 19? What are these brachas asking for? Instead of saying, I have no connection to what I'm doing, so therefore chuck it, ask yourself, well, maybe if none of these things mean anything to me, I need to take a step back and refocus my priorities. Because if it's there for a reason, and it just because it doesn't speak to us yet doesn't mean it's worthless. It means that we haven't yet put enough time into making sure that what it's intended to convey is something that we're putting enough effort into to matching up with and reaching and deriving that meaning from. We should be zochet to have a Shabbos that leaves us inspired, even if we're working Motzei Shabbos. But we should be able, as we stand, spooning out clay's hot dogs, whatever it is that's Hawaiian night on Motzei Shabbos, the people lining up for their Hawaiian chicken should look at you and say, this is a guy who just experienced a very enlightening Shabbos. I want to have a Shabbos like that next week. Shkarfa Bosa.